All right, yeah, we're going to talk to Terry Flanagan next. I can hear some sounds there. I'm not sure if he's inside or outside of his home in Dublin 15, but I know he was out with Declan Murphy recently, an old pal of yours, Declan Murphy.
Indeed.
Anyway, Terence, you there, Terry?
Yes, yeah, I am in the garden.
Thought as much.
I wasn't expecting you to come to me so soon.
Well, here we are now.
Well, here I am.
Touché. All right, what's your report about?
This week's report is about rare Irish plants.
Hmm.
I don't know what the rarest Irish plant is. And there's probably a few contenders, but a definite one is the burrowing clover, or subterranean clover, as it's sometimes called.
Indeed.
It's now thought that this plant exists in only one location in the whole of Ireland, and that's in County Wicklow. And this spot is literally an area of only a few square metres, with only a handful of plants there, and they've been flowering for a few weeks now. Declan Murphy is a wildlife author and naturalist, and he recently brought me down to the banks of the River Vartry to show me this plant and to highlight its plight.
Now, Terry, come over here, but you're going to have to get right down on your hands and knees if you want to see this plant, Terry, because it is surprisingly small.
Well, I can't see anything yet.
Well, there's a lot of grasses, I'm sure you can see those, but the one we're looking for is a clover. And
right.
It's actually, it's not this nice big one over here, these common red or clovers. It's this tiny little one here beside my finger.
Yeah,
that is absolutely tiny. There's little white flowers on it, and they must be only, what, 2 millimetres or so across.
That's it, 2 or 3 millimetres across. And there's only 3 or 4 flowers there, actually.
Right.
The plant itself is, sure, it's only about, what, 2-3 times the size of my fingernails going across there.
Yeah.
This is the incredibly rare subterranean clover. But its other name, which I prefer, is burrowing clover.
And this is the rarest plant in Ireland?
Well, it's certainly one of them. It's listed on the Flora Protection Order of 2022.
Right.
And what that means is that's the highest level of protection you can give a plant in Ireland. We can stand beside this plant. We could nearly stand on it, but we're not even allowed to pick a leaf. We're not allowed to touch it. We're not allowed to collect seeds, and we're not even allowed to sell seeds
right.
of the plant if it was collected without a licence. It's that protected and it's that rare, and it's growing here in Wicklow town. And as you can see, the dogs are running past here, the people playing football beside it.
And we're on the edge of the Vartry River here as well.
We're right beside the Vartry River, and it's the Vartry River actually that in some ways contributes to the survival of this tiny little population of this plant here. This
now, are you telling me that this is the only location, this tiny little couple of square metres, there's probably, what, 3 square metres here, that's the only place that I will find this plant in Ireland?
This population has been recorded here since the late 1800s. The botanists of the day came down, and it was a lot bigger back then. They used to make special trips down there, and it was well documented for decades. And there was hundreds and hundreds of plants, and gradually it has dwindled for a number of reasons. And the Wicklow population, which has been documented since the late 1800s, is now down to these handful of plants. Now, recently, one or two new sightings have come up down in Wexford, but the origin of those plants is still uncertain. They could have come in with some, like, you know, being introduced through a grass mixture or something like that. We don't have a history for those, but we do have a history for this plant going back several hundred years. Now, sadly, the population has dwindled, as you said there yourself, just down to, you know 7 or 8 plants now at this stage.
We've stood up here now and looking down, you can't really see them. Sure you can't.
No.
It's just like a little bit of like brown fluff.
Yeah.
The flower heads, I believe, they're found underneath the leaves.
That's right. The whole plant, as you said, is just so tiny and it grows very flat close to the ground. So that you have this little carpet of leaves and you have 2 tiny little white flowers that protrude up.
Yeah.
And where they get their name, their burrowing from, is that the seed heads, when the flower is fertilised, they effectively plant themselves. They actually put the seed head
back into the soil,
and the seed then develops in the soil itself into the next plant.
And they're self-fertilising. They don't attract insects.
Yes, that seems to be the way with these. And that probably explains why there's so few flowers on them. Because if you even look at this one plant only has 3 tiny little flowers on it.
Looking around here as we're chatting, and we're spreading out ever so slightly. We're out now about a couple of square metres. I see another one over here. And there's one there. So that's about 5 we've come across. How many more are there?
And you see, you're picking those ones out by the flowers. But don't forget, the plants are very readily identifiable by themselves. If we look at the leaves, the clover leaves, they're the typical shamrock leaf that everybody's familiar with, but they have small little black spots on them. That's very diagnostic. And they're covered in very fine small hairs. So if once you look at the leaves, you'll actually find there's, you know, more plants than that. There might be 10 or 12 there. The flowers are only present just for these few short weeks, and then they'll be gone. And you just, the rest of that plant then will dry out. They have a very short life cycle.
How do you think they got here to Wicklow in the first place?
Well, there's a very interesting theory about that. If you look at that building across from us there, that it's an apartment block now. That's actually the old railway station. That railway station, when that was in use back in the late 1800s, 1900s, the British Army and the British Cavalry were based down here. And there used to be horses here. And there's reports and records of horses being fed down on the Murrah, and that's where the camp was maintained. And they used to bring the hay from Dublin on the train down here. Now, we don't know where that hay originated from, but we do know that hay was brought into Ireland. It wasn't all the horses fed in Ireland weren't just produced on Irish-produced hay. So there was hay brought in by the British Army. Where that came from, we don't know, and there's no way of knowing that. But there, it is conceivable, because this is the only population that was known, that clover seeds could have come in from the hay.
You know, looking down here at these few plants, they're almost inconspicuous. They're extremely difficult to see. Do many people care about them?
Probably not, but...
You know, people must just walk across here. This isn't fenced off or anything like
no.
that. There are, as you said, we saw the kids playing football. We saw people on their bicycles. That people just walking by all the time, trampling across this plant.
And that's why the plant's able to survive, because that's the good thing about it. Because it can survive where there's barren soil, where other plants aren't able to cope with being trampled on.
Yeah.
It can't cope with competition. So if you planted this in the middle of a lawn, it would be smothered by all the more aggressive grasses, the aggressive red clovers, the aggressive white clovers that are in your garden. They'd smother it.
Mm.
But they can't stand being trampled. And the other thing that's happened here is that the Vartry River during the winter floods a little bit here, and we get salt water and on the lying on the grass here, and the little depressions. And that's, if you look, this is a little depression just here.
That's where they are, the plants.
That's right. And like there was full of water there during the winter for a couple of weeks at a time. It kills off all the plants, but the seeds are still there.
See, that's the beauty of this plant. It not only does it produce the seeds, but it buries them in the ground.
And
they're ready for next year.
And the salt water doesn't kill them, because it's only a short inundation, but it's enough to kill all the competition.
And so, what about the plants themselves, the adult plants, after they produce these seeds?
They die.
When we think of clovers, we think of the red clovers and the trefoils and all those, and we think of them as being very, very common in Ireland. I never realised that we'd such a rare species and that it's in so few locations, just literally this one location here in County Wicklow.
But an awful lot of our scarce native clovers are confined to very, very restricted areas, because they have traditionally grown up in very poor, non-fertile soil. That's why they're not used in agriculture. I mean, that's why we use the big, the red ones and the white ones that you see, you know, growing in your lawns and that. The other clovers are restricted by their very nature, what they need. So Wexford and Wicklow are two great areas, because we have dry, sandy soils along the coast, and they're able to survive there because they can tolerate the drought.
Going back to our subterranean clover here, it's only in one spot. What are the chances it could be lost from here?
I'd say the chances are actually quite high, because although it's been here and well known for, you know, several hundred years.
Now, when you say well known, you're talking about well known by botanists.
Well known by botanists, yes. Yeah. As I said, botanists have come down and visited this area. But when they came down in the early 1900s, there was hundreds and hundreds. They gave descriptions of areas 100 metres in length, full of subterranean clover. And then it gradually got reduced, because this area has changed a lot in the last 100 years. It's very much maintained by the county council as an amenity area, as you can see by all the people walking there. So the grass here is mown, and it's quite possibly fertilised, it's levelled, and it's probably seeded. So it's under threat in that way. The area that has got the little hollow quite possibly will be filled in at some stage, or will be, you know, seeded over, and that, you know, it'll be lost then.
What about the idea of fencing it off to protect it? How would that work?
Fencing it off would certainly stop people going onto it, but the problem is that will allow all the aggressive species of grass, all the clovers, the other species of clover and that, the non-native species, to get established, and they will smother it out. If you look at the size of that plant, like it's only the size of your fingernail,
it's
like
tiny.
A big buttercup growing there would actually smother it out.
So if you were to
actually want people to walk on it,
yeah,
or not so much to walk on it, but to walk on the habitat around it to kill off all the other plants and to actually keep it open.
So it itself is a trample-resistant plant.
Yes, yeah. Mm. It's totally grows more or less flat to the ground. The flowers, as you can see there, the flowers don't even protrude up more than a few millimetres up. So there's no damage to them. If a football landed on that plant, it wouldn't damage it at all. Mm. Whereas if we fenced it off and let the other ryegrasses or something get in, that would damage it an awful lot more.
I can't believe that we have a clover here that I've never seen before. And it's so small and it's so rare. Do you worry about it that, you know, something might happen in this site over the next number of years?
Yes, I think the number of plants has got down so small that we probably need to look at taking some sort of action.
Now, by action, I presume you mean taking some of them out and growing them?
No, I don't. I think the site will probably have to, in the long run, will have to be maintained for it. But being a species that's protected by the Flora Protection Order, that means, like, you know, National Parks and Wildlife Service would have to be very much involved because they're responsible for
and
that.
And would they not think of doing that? So taking some of them in and hoping to grow them on and then relocate them or translocate them somewhere else?
Plants can be quite finicky. It can be very, very hard to reproduce the exact conditions. Like, it's growing in that one area there because the conditions are exactly right now at this stage. It can be very hard to reproduce it. We can kind of say, it's not like sort of, you know, growing a load of plants in a nursery and you can give them lots of fertilizer and give them lots of watering and they seem to thrive. They're the plants that, I suppose, spread and do well as non-natives or natives across the country. A plant has restricted that down to 10. It's a very, very small area to manage. It would have to be a big project. It's kind of, as long as that little area survives, it'll survive here in Wicklow. But if that small little area goes, it won't survive. And regardless of whether it was introduced through the bringing in of the hay or whether it is one of our very, very rare natural and native plants, I think it has such a long history here in Wicklow, it deserves to be maintained and to be protected.
And you will continue to come down here and check on it for years to come.
Well, I walk my dog down here every day, and it's lovely just actually to come down and walk and say, I must just nip over and just see how the clover is doing. And you can sit down there and you can have a coffee and you can look at the plant. And regularly I'll be looking at it and people will walk past and they'll say, what are you looking at? And you show them this tiny little plant and they think it's amazing that, you know, it's fascinating for such a tiny little plant. And people then think, not alone do they think plants are boring, but people think clovers and grasses are really boring. And I'm saying, well, look at all these lovely, fascinating clovers and their fascinating lifestyles literally going on right under your feet.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry Flanagan and Declan Murphy.